hopes that when Brun comes over here, you give him a little fight talk about keeping his forces up.
Necessary,
huh? Yeah. He said it's necessary that Schmidt is very discouraged with defense minister. But I think I agree with Mel. I think it'd be helpful if he heard from you about your interests. Because the state is talking over there about the mutual force reductions as if it is the greatest thing.
Yeah, well, don't worry.
But I think we should husband the mutual force reductions for September. I mean, they're giving this away as if they're going to disintegrate NATO if they keep this up. What you said is right. Dulles had the right strategy to let himself get dragged along by them. And we went through that in Salt. We held back on Salt and got further that way.
Well, for Christ's sake, the mutual force reduction, as we know, is at this point, it's going to have to be much more fundamental.
And we'll get it as long as we don't put ourselves in a position where we are the one who's...
I incidentally... saw that Rogers, they had stated some instructions in here on the OECD in which they slaughtered over and got that on vision. And I changed it. I'm taking comments on.
Good.
We're stuck with it. I mean, we can't just refuse to go in. Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
But I think, on the other hand, we're taking the line, and I told Rogers to make a hard-hitting, blunt statement. We went in. I don't think we can, I just think the Europeans, this business of Satan doesn't fight for our interests. That's their problem.
They don't fight for our interests. They are short-sighted. They don't know how to husband our resources. They fiddle their assets away on little short-term advantages. And they always want to please, mostly foreigners. They always want to please their clients abroad.
I told them. Keith, I didn't see him. He was there last night at this little party. And I told him I would see him when he came back late in the middle of June, just before the foreign minister came in. And I think we'll just have him for a half hour. And
I saw him.
I also told him that I said the problem here is that we've just got to be sure we don't get involved in internal conflict, be pulled one way or another, and so forth and so on.
Almost fanatical on this issue.
Now what the hell does he think we should do about
it? Oh, he thinks we should cut off all military aid, all economic aid, and in effect help the Indians to push the Pakistanis out of...
Push? I don't want him to come into that kind of jackass thing with me.
And but Mr. President, actually... We've got to keep Yahya, we have to keep Yahya afloat if he has public executions for the next month.
Look, even apart from the Chinese thing, I wouldn't do that to help the Indians. The Indians are goddamn good.
Exactly.
Keating, like every ambassador who goes over there, gets sucked in, he now thinks the...
Those sons of fishes who never have lifted a finger for us, why should we get involved in the morass of East Pakistan? All the more so, I quite agree with the point. If East Pakistan becomes independent, it's going to be a cesspool. It's going to be 100 million people. They have the lowest standard of living in Asia.
Yeah.
No resources. They're going to become a ripe field for communist infiltration. And then they're going to bring pressure on India because of West Bengal. So that the Indians, in their usual idiotic way, are playing for little sake, unless they have in the back of their mind that they could turn East Pakistan into a sort of protectorate that they can control from Calcutta. That they may have in the back of their mind.
Oh, what they have in the back of their mind is the destruction of Pakistan. That's an entity. That's all.
I've got this message to go back to the Chinese.
It's dangerous, so you can't
before. I just wanted to have the...
Well, you understand, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The less you tell, the better, I guess.
Great record of what was said, Mr. President, for you. I can't. They'll tape it. They can cut it down to two, that's no problem. Ruin it for them.
Did you discover where it is? I noticed the infiltration, for example.
Yes, that's right.
I wonder, is he cutting down the bomb?
No, I told...
Put somebody on it, put it on more.
I talked to Moro yesterday along the line.
Infiltration is up. Just got to put it on and lay it in for
it. I talked to Moro yesterday along the lines of what you said.
How is he bombing? How is...
Because bombing doesn't get the personnel.
It gets something. It gets the artillery. For Christ's sake, they're bringing artillery down there.
Yeah. Well, it's... that's one of the results of Laos, that they, this is the stuff that they couldn't send down during Lansan 719.
No, they're sending it down in the rain season.
Sending it down in the rain season.
Return.
Recession. They repeated their demand to have political and military issues settled together, which is what we are trying to separate in my talk. But there couldn't be an answer yet. They're just going through there. But there, I mean, we go through our formal public position and they go through there.
All that Cambodian action, what's your final decision?
In the snow one? Well, that... one is that division in snow. The one that withdrew is no good.
Yeah, well, I understand that. And was it as bad as... not as bad as the press made it out?
Oh, no, no. The immediate action... the division is no good, but the immediate action, by every account that I've been able to get, in any normal press reporting, would be a... would be considered a success. They inflicted very heavy casualties on the North Vietnamese. They were withdrawing anyway. They weren't pushed out of snow. They were going to the positions in South Vietnam for the rainy season. The South Vietnamese are under orders until October to avoid casualties. Chu has already told Bunker that is right after the election he's planning measures to anticipate North Vietnamese offensive. But I think on the whole it was a very successful operation, and in that part of the country, the North Vietnamese have been taking exorbitant casualties. Now, unfortunately, if Tree hadn't been killed, those units wouldn't have been there anymore. He was in the process of defeating them. So anyway, I talked last night. I think that's an interesting change. First of all, I don't know whether you've seen today's news summary, but 3 pages of Seoul. I mean, that story is just going on and on. But that was a group of East Asian scholars to whom I agreed to talk 3 months ago, really just to show the administration flag. About 100 of them from all over the country. There's an East Asian society or something like that. Fairbanks and Reischauer. All the big names. Tillman Durden was there. And the mood is really amazing. How it has changed towards the administration. Only one question on Vietnam, and a very mild one, and was the last one. All the questions had to do with China policy. And bearded, beatnik type got up and said, we just want you to know how great it is. What can we do to help the president? What can we do? And for a group of, I'm not saying they're going to vote
they
for
you. They saw this, they'd have been standing on the chairs.
Well, when this comes out, it doesn't have to, when the results of this come out, the fact of it doesn't have to come out.
Oh, it's a little while. Factors too, but I mean the results. So
when the results come out, they're going to be climbing walls. But the whole mood has changed. I don't know I think I was really astonished. And Richard Duckman, who is, as you know, is a son of a bitch, he was there, and he commented to me afterwards. He said, "Well, I guess you got the intellectuals back for the administration," which I fell in the presence of an East Asian Society meeting. And this fellow Senhope was there, the ping pong guy.
Oh, yeah.
And they were giving him some sort of, somebody, some Quaker, who is vice chairman of this committee, said, "Mr. Senhoven broke down the wall of China." Senhoven cut up. "I didn't break down the wall of China. I didn't know what was happening. President Nixon broke down the wall of China." He said, "I was just, he made it possible, and I just followed, I just went in there." He is a terrific guy.
He's for us. How lucky you were that's
the guy. But this guy could have been a total peacenik for all we know. But this was a group of East Asians. He just said one sentence. He said, "President Nixon broke down the wall of China." And apparently Tillman Durden was there. They had talked very respectfully of you there.
Great. On this thing, Henry, of the China trade,
I think that's right.
What do you think?
I think that's right.
So why don't I say prefer to go immediately to the Soviet level on our Chinese export controls? That's too far
because that way
we get... We'll accept U.S. government recommendations, but they...
The advantage of not going immediately to the Soviet level is it gives you another story whenever you need it.
All right.
And this is
you
already...
accept the inspector recommendation item for U.S. including Earth Movement, and they make that. Okay. Now, the grain thing is enormously important. It's important politically. It has a lot of air. I think that it could, for example, the farm would have a very, very great effect.
That's the most important part of this packet.
Now, the difficulty is, the American bonds, as you know. If we go in the grain proposal means nothing unless you knock out the American bonds.
Absolutely.
Now, if you knock out the American bottoms, you're taking meaning in the Union's own profit. And the long term, I think, will reduce a little of the ships. What you can see with the airplane. What I'd like for you to do, the guy that knows the most about that, don't pay a goddamn bit of attention to the Labor Department. They don't know anything. They just represent their constituents. Colson is very close to them politically, you know. You and Peterson have a tough talk with Faith Colson. But what I have in mind is the unions aren't, and I think I include Schultz in it. Schultz would be good, not Hobbs, he's over there. But just put it on a cold turkey problem. But Peterson, I'd like for you, I'll put down.
I'll do it.
You get them together. You get them together, you see. Let Peterson think you and he are doing it.
Oh, sure.
But what I mean is this is. Peterson doesn't know about the other high strategy. I want to go, this will be the most important single thing in the package. Pete, Schultz, Colson.
Pete and I have no problem.
With Peterson, the thing you should do is that, look, and I'd say that generally the president would consider this only an economic recommendation and so forth, but it involved, well, it's no arguments for you anyway. Say it does involve enormous consideration, so there's no problem with that. You all have Peterson, Schultz, and Colson. Now, I want us to lean hard, though, in the direction of doing this. I do not believe that you can... I don't know what this thing... It says... The real question, I guess, is whether you give a general license or individual license for China without the 50% shipping requirement. You oppose both of them. You just say go all the way with China and Soviet on the bottom trade.
That would be, but if it's easier to do it with individual licenses, that's...
I'm trying to think of a way we can handle it. I see no reason why we shouldn't send grain to China and hell with grain to Soviet. I mean, it's on an individual basis, you understand?
On a general basis, we can't do it because...
We can't discriminate against one of them. I know.
We can't discriminate against the Soviet Union.
We ought to get this silly, it's an archaic provision of law, 50% of American bottoms. The American merchant marine, however, it is a very patriotic that the Union is, and in support of our activities, and can be rough as hell.
But I'm going.
See?
That's true. I think perhaps then individual licenses are better. Except that then every time we do it, we have hell to pay.
Well, the point is, we just tell them we've got it because of an enormous surplus of grain and so forth. We've got to do it for grain. And we're going to fight like hell to keep the 50% American bottoms for everything else. That's what I've told them. Fair enough.
Right.
This is only for grain. We've got enormous problem there, and that's why it's only because it involves food for people and all that sort of thing. Food for peace, grain, so forth. I don't know whether it can. Did you discuss this with Peterson and the rest? Did they realize the political hair that's on this?
I can't be sure, Mr. President. not.
Well, it's got into the labor department's hands, but you see what I mean? It involves the union, the activist union, you know. You know these longshoremen are coming, some of them won't vote stuff for Vietnam.
Oh, I know, and
I like that.
I like it.
The difficulty is that, and here's your meaning, now understand, he's going to be for us next time out. But it would certainly put some of our Democratic friends to the torch, like Hubert Humphrey and others who are sucking up the farm bill, to say, look, you can't ship American grains. The farmers want to ship those grains. And goddamn, we ought to ship the grains.
It just doesn't fit into our strategy right now to boycott them.
No, we're not going to boycott them. My point is,
well,
and what I meant is,
we should ship the grain.
Change in a policy, and we've never done any shipments of 50% without American bottoms. That's just the point, see.
Yeah.
6% American bottoms has been the hang up on grains. That's the only reason we haven't been shipping. It's always had a possibility of it. And that screwed it up. That's why we haven't sold grain to the Soviet. 50% American bottoms. We fought it over and over and over again. I'm inclined to think that. You see, you've got to look at it from the domestic standpoint. Domestic standpoint, it cuts two ways. One, the farm bill will love it. Second, the unions that have been strong for us in foreign policy will go right up the wall at the point shipping grains to communist countries and busting unions. At the point.
Very well. It's the toughest part. We don't have to do this one now. We can wait until you announce the summit.
I think it would have an enormous effect in the farm bill. Farmers, Jerry Ford, oh, I might like for you to the courtesy of placing a call to him, if you would, he asked me about the shipment of grains. He said if we could do something on that on the China trade, he said it would have a great effect. Fair enough. You could get a call in and say, what do you think, Jerry? What do you think, though, about the union? The fact that the unions and the supporters will just go right up the goddamn wall.
I'll call him right up.
And if you get his political judgment, Colson's will lean too much in favor of just doing what the unions want, because he's very close to J. Lovestone. J. Lovestone is the guy that fights that primarily points me in this field. But I'm inclined to buy it.
I know Lovestone pretty well, and he's a former communist, and he understands rough strategy.
Well, I'll tell you what I have in mind.
I could tell
you. I say something, could I have better than Colson? Why don't you do it this way? Call in Lovestone. Could you do that?
Sure.
And say, now look here, couldn't you sort of take him in the mountaintop and say, really, this involves China-Soviet deal, policy forever, but it means, you know, we could say that we do it
for grains
only. For grains only and surplus at a certain time. In other words, if this is only for that purpose and that everybody has it, and that politically it's going to be put up in the Congress, and we're probably going to lose on it, I'd throw that tone to it. A lot of people just are sick of the unions. Ask Ford about 50% American bottoms. Ask Lovestone just to see what he. If you think you can do a little convincing.
Well, I could convince Lovestone if it were China only, but that would drive the Russians right up the wall.
Well, we don't have any. The point is telling that the Russian question is a moot question. That really the Chinese are the only ones that are probably interested in getting grains. The Russians have every other sources of grains.
Right. Well, frankly, I don't think the Chinese would buy it either.
But it would be quite a gesture.
In fact, the Chinese had said they wouldn't buy directly from us at the time for this. But they said this publicly 4 weeks ago, but after this, they will probably,
It could change very, very significantly. That would have a hell of an effect. Look, we get a shipment of a few thousand tons of grain over to China. That, on the China issue, would have the most benefit. That would just really give us a plus that you can't imagine how much.
I talked to Dobrynin last night to set a date for next week. I thought I'd invite him to dinner, where we can talk leisurely.
Good.
So I asked him for Tuesday night.
Sure.
I thought maybe I could get the boat or something, or get the chief of naval operations boat to get him away from here.
Yeah.
But at any rate, he said on that occasion that we have to talk about the next few months. So now I'm going to play hard. But before I get Schultz and Peterson and Coltsman, I'm going to talk to Lutzville.
Call Jerry Ford to get the...
I'll call Jerry Ford.
Call Jerry Ford to get the congressional reaction on the farm side. And also what kind of reaction there would be among the labor pro-labor. And then get Lovestone in and say, all right, I'll follow this. That's not this one.
I know, but Pages again, which is the best place for it to be. And the senators are always frantic on petty little moves.
His moving to the back page is except for the fact that two summaries on the terms of the television, they desperately take up every damn little thing, like a thousand. He gives it to leave one night, a few of your wife will give it to leave the next night, and so forth. It's dual things to leave the next night. That's the problem. Now that's better than it was, because usually it's 7 nights a week. Now it's only 3 nights a week that it leaves. But what I'm interested in is we need something simply for holding action. Maybe what is needed here, just trying to think, maybe it's, so the more we talk about the worse this is no time for any backgrounders on the goddamn thing.
No.
They just go over the same tire old subject. What about the POWs? What about a deadline?
The press is pretty good right now. I ran into Socrat last night.
Did you?
And he says we're doing fine. He said it on television after your press conference, so it isn't just muttering me up. Haig notices the same thing. The press has not been, since we're here, so respectful of you, and while they still mumble around Vietnam, they've got too much of a vested interest. They are just terribly uneasy that something is going on there, too. It hasn't quite penetrated to the television guys yet, but...
It hasn't penetrated to the people yet.
But,
the masses.
Yeah, but there's always a...
lag.
There's always a lag. And I think with half a break, we're going to have such a spectacular summer.
I think we are. I think we could well have it, too. I just don't want to have something happen in this month before we get to see... We're not meeting June the 6th of July. Have something happen that might destroy that break. You understand?
Well, let me...
The Senate go hard. I mean, they can still go crazy. I know this bunch is...
They're scared now, though. But I'll... Let me see whether I can figure something.
Anything except cosmetics.
No, I understand.
Might even let Laird do some jackass announcement or something.
Laird is always bad news. I just talked to him to shut up for 2 months on Vietnam. Because if he makes... But let me see what they have that would show progress or something. Of the kind.
You understand what I
understand it completely.
I'm not going to change at all. I mean, they can all stand here like a rock. But I don't want something public to be done in the United States that will destroy the negotiating issue. And hurts the Chinese and hurts the Russians. You understand? This could do it.
They gotta
believe we're gonna last.
But I think we got their attention.
Yeah.
And I have the impression that at least as long as this negotiation is going on, the Chinese are not gonna make you look try to
not the Chinese.
They can't afford it. You're no good to them.
I certainly want you to let that damn Russian know. I'd be damn tough on Cuba. And you know, they aren't going to be able, they can't, on the one hand, say, look, we want to talk about assault and screw us every place else. And Berlin, I'm stopping that one anyway. They want to play a tough game, they don't get it.
Well, they have, upland with the Russians, I fear, it's almost a ridiculous fear, it's going to be the opposite. I don't think, I've believed ever since the Polish uprising, and even more so since the Party Congress, they're not going to play a rough game. Not this year. The great danger is that they're going to play such a soft game, too soft a game before we get the Chinese one off the ground.
Okay, well, give this some thought. On 2 points. First, keep Haig busy with Hughes on the first POWI. That's going to work on you. And frankly, Rich, reassure their leaders and have a man go out or some damn thing. That plane, for example, was very hard to get through. I have to show you how little the senators know. Dole's a student of this. He said that was too
sent back, and Mitchell was here too, and he didn't even know
about that POW. How did you watch that? I said, what do you mean, what did you have? He said, well, those, how did they wedge it up so that these balls wouldn't go back?